All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Of all of the candidates running in for 7th District Congress, either on the Republican side or the Democratic side, there's 4 Democrats running. There are 5 Republicans running. So out of those 9, there's only one lady that is a candidate. She is Catherine Cat Ping. She is running for the Republican nomination for 7th District Congress, and she joins me live. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Amos, and I'm very happy to be here to join you and your listeners this afternoon.
Well, we're glad to have you. So why are you running?
Well, that's a very good question, and I've given that thought many occasions, especially when it gets really tough out there on the campaign trail and you want to hit your head against the wall going, why am I doing this to myself?
Right.
But this makes my 3rd time in doing it, and I found that along the way, each time, it's kind of like an evolutionary thought to me because I started out with one thought process as to why I wanted to run. But each time, and the passage of time has exposed me to what really goes on in listening to the people as I'm knocking on their doors and shaking hands and listening to the real stories. I don't like to think of myself as somebody who is the cure-all for what ails every one of us or even segments of our communities. But I'd like to think that I do have the courage to stand up, to try to take the fight for the people, to do that which I feel is right, and things to make a difference. Because my life has been, for the most part, service to my country and for the people.
So what kind of background and experience would you bring to the job as a member of Congress from Indianapolis?
Well, I am a, like Gordon Smith, who was on just before me, I am a military person, and there's a little backstory to that, and I'd like to share that if you don't mind with the listeners. In 1980, that was the time of the really first recession for those of us who were in that age group, and we can remember the back that far. I was a young adult living at home with my parents because my father had lost his job. And I watched him lose his job, get another one, lose his job, get another one, to the point where the stress killed him, and I watched him die on a crash board. So I'm very familiar with what the diversities and the adversities that life can throw from a younger age. So I enlisted in the military because I felt like I had to do something to make a difference. And I started out as an E1, which is the lowest rank. And I went to officer candidate school. I graduated with Gordon Smith, as a matter of fact. We went to OCS together. And I also worked my way through college while holding a full-time job and doing the military thing. So I had a very, very busy life. And I felt like if I can do it, then anyone else can do it. And I wanted to convey to the young people and even the adults out there that feel like they're overwhelmed by what life has thrown at them, you can do it. I mean, if I can do it under those conditions, then so can you. But I feel like as a society and as a government, we have an obligation to ensure that those rights and freedoms stay strong and that they're not infringed upon. And so I'm looking for leadership across the board, not only just in myself, but other people in our community to ask yourself, who do we know that really stands up for us? Who do we feel has the moral fiber and courage? Who has the stamina to take the fight where it needs to be fought for the people to make that difference? And I'm not saying, again, like I am the cure-all or I have the golden answer or the parachute for everything, for everyone. But I do have the experience. I'm a 33-year veteran, retired lieutenant colonel. I had command for 4 years. I'm very familiar with leading from the front. I'm a military certified instructor of strategic warfare tactics and the decision-making process. And yes, there is a right way to making a decision.
If you're elected to Congress, what would be your priorities? What would you do in Congress that's different from what's happening now?
Well, first off, I'm not going to go in naively and think that I'm going to be able to go in there and storm the bastions of Congress and take them all to the mattresses. That's just not going to happen. And I don't care what candidates tell you, it's not going to happen for them either, okay? I spent my last 2 tours in Washington, D.C. with a top secret clearance. I have been a chief of staff for a directorate, high-level directorate in a top-secret facility, and I also spent 1 year as the chief of cyber exercises for the total Army. Mm-hmm. So I've been in a joint environment with the CIA and all of the joint services. I can swear to you that it's not as easy as people think it's going to be when they walk in the door. I've seen how people behave. It's just too naive to think otherwise. So in answer to your question, to get back to that, mm-hmm. I would feel that it would be incumbent on any candidate or even the incumbents, if they really want to do the people's work, to really understand that when they're going in, they need to understand who they're going to be working with. Mm-hmm. It's not me, myself, and I that's going to make this problem go away. It didn't happen by one individual. It didn't happen overnight. So I'm going to go in there. If it were me, I would go in to represent the people with the thought process in mind that I'm going to learn who all of the players are, what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, what do they bring to the table, and then identify the problems. And that's the key that I think that we're missing in our leadership, is that they fail to recognize what the real problems are.
In your mind, in terms of what this country faces, what the people in the 7th Congressional District face, what do you see as the major problems, and what should Congress be doing about them?
Very good question. And I have been trying to find the answer to that question myself. So I've gone out into the community and trying to reach out to some of our civic leaders. Mm-hmm. And like in the was it Martindale, Brightwood? Mm-hmm. And I've driven around into the communities, and I've seen the blightedness that goes on. It's kind of hard to have cheer of spirit when you walk outside your door and it looks rather abysmal. We don't see that the aesthetics in life really impact us even as much as our own personal space and environment do. Right. I'm not saying that we can provide an overnight beautification program, mm-hmm. but I think we need to go and introduce the communities to, we not only have to do work within ourselves, but we have to work together as a community and understand that we're not in this by ourselves. This is a we thing. I'm not here to solve your problem for you. I want to work with you mm-hmm. to help you solve your problems. So I see that there's a blightedness. I see that there are disadvantages in certain communities that maybe they're not being afforded, yeah. or they're not being educated on, or they just simply don't exist. And that's what I'm trying to learn in this process as I go around to the different communities. Because if I am elected, then the people need to understand that I want to know, I want to go informed. Mm-hmm. What really are their problems? Like I said, I can't provide a solution if I really don't know what the problems are. Because sometimes what looks like a problem on the surface, mm-hmm. Amos, is actually a symptom of the problem.
We're talking with Catherine Cat Ping. She is running for the Republican nomination for 7th District Congress, 239-1310, 239-1310. You can send me a text message at 37890, keyword Amos, or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com. The Affordable Care Act, obviously that is going to be, you know, I don't know whether that's the issue in this congressional campaign or one of the issues. Where do you stand on that? You know, do we end it, mend it, repeal it, tweak it? What would a Congresswoman Cat Ping do?
Well, I've listened to some of your other programs and listened to some of the other candidate responses. And I believe in being a straightforward kind of person, so I'm going to just say what I believe. Mm-hmm. I would repeal it if it were brought up for a vote. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hedge or hem or haw on that. I have personally gone online and looked up for the Affordable Care Act, and I don't mean just recently either. I did it before it was even signed into law. Mm-hmm. And there is more than one version. Mm-hmm. Some people don't know that there was actually an original version, and that members of the Congress didn't like it because there were parts in it that were not tolerable. Mm-hmm. And so they had to recraft certain segments of it. And then they brought it back and they signed it. And then they actually went back and they redid it and signed it again. So there's like two or three different versions. Mm-hmm. And from last count, I heard that there's another one that's being looked at to amend it again. So from that standpoint, when any document is 900, depending on which version, mm-hmm. 900 plus pages, and you have the Speaker of the House saying we have to sign it before we can read it, I don't know. To me, that just smacks of very recklessness for the people. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't encourage anybody to go to a car dealership and just sign on the dotted line without reading all the financial particulars. Now, would you?
Mm-hmm. Would you then, are there parts of it that are worth saving, like making sure that, you know, you can't be knocked off your insurance for pre-existing conditions, electronic medical records, those kinds of things?
Okay, so now I'm going to delve into my more personal side of things.
Okay.
I do not have health insurance.
Okay.
Years ago, I was denied health insurance because I have what is called a pre-existing condition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very minor one, and my doctors tried to tell the insurance companies that this is nothing. I mean, if I can go and serve my country and do all kinds of physical demanding right. things to me, I can do whatever. But it's very minor, but they wouldn't let me have the health insurance. I've since gone on and tried to find insurance. I cannot afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I cannot mm-hmm. afford it. What insurance coverage I might be able to afford provides me a Band-Aid amount of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's insurance is almost $6,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and they increased his by $100 more a month, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when they call it the Affordable Care Act, so far I haven't witnessed much in the way of affordable, me personally.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do feel like there needs to be some form of protection for the people
mm-hmm.
that yes, if you're ill, you shouldn't have to fear going to the hospital and being turned down because you can't pay the bill. I really believe that. My family have been recipients of that type of treatment, myself included when I was younger. So speaking from experience, yes, we do need some kind of an Affordable Care Act, but the one that we have currently and the way it is written, it is not working. It needs to be recrafted.
239-1310, 239-1310 with Catherine Katping. We've got 12 to 13% unemployment here in the 7th Congressional District. One-fifth of all families, one-fifth of all households in this district are below the poverty level. Almost 30% of all families with children live below the poverty level. From your perspective, what should the Congress be doing? What would a Congresswoman Katping be fighting for to reduce poverty and put residents of the 7th District back to work?
Well, I don't know if you're going to agree or if any of your listeners are going to agree, because I feel like we can't give it a simple Band-Aid.
Hmm.
And it goes back to what I was saying earlier, trying to identify the problem and not the symptoms. So from my perspective, I would be crafting legislation in hopefully in coordination with both parties, members of both aisles of the Congress, to first off say there will be term limits.
Mm-hmm.
Because the legacy type of legislators need to go away. They're not in touch with the people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't experience their pain, so therefore they cannot relate to their pain. Secondly, I feel like our government is a behemoth. I spent 2 years out there. I know how big it is, and it's getting bigger. So I would craft legislation to dramatically reduce the footprint in some of the agencies that have just become so bloated and so costly.
And that's not the services to people. That's the folks sitting in offices in Washington or Indianapolis or Duluth that are shuffling paper around?
No, we're talking about there. We're talking about, let's see, for instance, the EPA is a humongous thing.
Mm-hmm.
The IRS is humongous. Okay, you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
There are transportation department. There's different agencies within the government that is so huge and bloated that Congress has – you've heard the power of the pen for Congress, correct?
Right.
Well, and then they took a beating this last fall because they didn't want to pass the budget
mm-hmm.
because they were trying to finagle things, and I can appreciate that.
Right.
However, if you don't start understanding what the real problem is, then you're not going to be able to fix it for the people, and the people need redress on this
mm-hmm.
in the worst possible way. So in order to stimulate the economy, you have to reduce the behemoth money-sucking beast that the government has become.
Does that include defense? I mean, you have served your country.
No.
How do we balance off
the bloat in the civilian agencies, and there's got to be some bloat on the military side.
Well, for instance, there's a lot of agencies that really overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's waste, fraud, and abuse. Okay. There's so much overlapping. I was exposed. I'm going, are you serious? They have a separate budget for this entity, and this other entity has the same humongous budget, and they both do the same thing, but yet they won't even talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't name names because I'm not into it.
I don't want to get in trouble. Okay.
But that's how it is.
Right.
And they all fight and bicker, and they go to Congress, and they're trying to get the same dollars. Okay. Where do you think those dollars are coming from? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is we have too much redundancy in our government. We have too much bloatedness, okay? Mm-hmm. So if we had more of those dollars being wasted on those agencies, then those dollars can go back into the communities. We can give actually some tax relief to the people.
Mm-hmm.
They can hold their own dollars more. They can spend them the way they want to. Then if we opened up the free market system to the insurance companies so that people can go and get a quote from any insurance company, you would see prices driven down.
So you're saying health insurance should be like auto insurance. Open it up to competition and let somebody let the Geico sell medical insurance.
Thank you. You have no idea how hard insurance companies and insurance agents would be working to get your business once those gates were flooded open.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would stimulate the economy, just not here, but everywhere.
239-1310, 239-1310 with Catherine, Kat Ping. On minimum wage, you got a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Where do you stand on minimum wage? Does it need to be raised? Does it need to, you know, stay where it is?
Gosh. You know, that's a tricky one. I've really given this one a lot of thought. And I don't mean to offend anybody because I have members of my own family that fall in that category.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see their circumstances risen too. But the smart answer is that if we as a people can understand that if we can stay the course for some fixes to be put in place, there would be relief if some things were done. And to it, what I'm trying to say is a combination of things need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First off, we have inflation, and the government really isn't reporting that. There's too many dollars that have been circulated, that have been printed out. So we have inflation. Ask anybody who's been doing the grocery shopping.
Right.
Okay. Mine have increased almost twice.
Mm-hmm.
So you have inflation going on. The cost of living has not has been going up, but yet wages have not been going up incrementally with it.
Right.
Okay. So employers, they're sending a message. I'm not going to hire anybody else because I can't afford it, is what they're saying at these wage levels.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So something has to give. So we do need to give relief to the people and raise the minimum wage, but at what level do you raise it to? Because at this $15 level that I heard is being stated in New York, what do you think it's going to do to the McDonald's dollar menu?
Right.
It's going to put the dollar menu out of circulation.
Of course, maybe it's New York. Maybe their dollar menu is $2. 239-1310, 239-1310. Put your ears on. Catherine Kat Ping, let me go to Anonymous. Hi there. Anonymous.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, when she was talking about how much she would gut the government. I mean, when you gut the government, it doesn't sound right because there are things that the government does for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, I forgot his name, but he's a Republican. He just put out a budget that he just guts everything. He guts everything that's based on helping any type of poor.
No, you're talking about what Paul Ryan, Representative Paul Ryan, said the other day.
Sounds like she's doing the same thing. You can't go and gut a government that's been running for centuries, number one. Number two, you have to have the people okay to do that. And simply got in, they didn't care to the people what we say, how we say it, how often do we say it. They just decide, okay, this is what the smaller piece of people want, and this is how we're getting in, so we'll just to those people. That's not fair. That's not right. You have more just those little bitty base of people. You have a whole country to to deal with, not just this little bitty mix of people who want to gut the government. They don't even want a government, let alone deal practically with it.
Right.
I understand that we need to drive down some do it in a way so much better than.
All right, hold on, Anonymous, you're breaking up, but I think we got a point. Let me let Kat Ping respond.
I appreciate your concern for that, because that is something that we're all familiar with, and we all gravitate to what is making us comfortable because we feel protected and secure from that, from our government being that large. But the bottom line is that we haven't seen the evolutionary fallout from building this government as big as it is.
Are you? But one of the things the caller brought up was this budget proposal that Paul Ryan put out, and people focus on cutting the programs. You were saying cutting the bureaucratic part of the program,
yes.
Not necessarily
not the program,
not the service.
No, ma'am. I'm sorry if that's the way you understood it. That's not my intent. I'm talking about the government agencies themselves. For instance, the EPA is so large, the Department of Transportation, the IRS. And they're mostly, they're located centrally to the Washington, D.C. and suburban area.
So that doesn't mean stop collecting taxes. It doesn't mean stop, you know, people from polluting the air and the water. It just means reduce the size of the people that answer the phones and shuffle the paper?
Right. Let me, in terms that everybody can understand, if you were to reduce the size of the different government agencies that are redundant quite often, you would have all of those budgetary dollars that go to support them going back into the programs that go to the people.
Hmm.
That's called redistribution of your tax dollars.
To come down to serve people, not...
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let me go to Sissy right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. One point I wanted to make, which was also about the Paul Ryan budget, but before I make that point quickly, let me say that I was almost on board with you, Ms. Ping, until you mentioned about minimum wage and how they may have to take up the price of the dollar menu. When you're talking about a multi-billion dollar corporation, any changes, even if you raise the minimum wage, should not affect a dollar menu because they have the money. But my point about the Paul Ryan budget is, and I blogged about this, in that I don't agree with what you say about cutting all the resources, administrative resources that have anything to do with getting the goods and services or serving the people, because you would invariably call that number and they will say that they can't serve you because they're short-staffed because of the budget cuts. What my suggestion is just like they've been saying across the board in the United States, with these multi-billion-dollar corporations giving away millions of dollars in bonuses to their corporate executives, you can still look at raising the taxes on these people. Get rid of the Bush tax cuts, and go ahead and let those people be accountable for the money that they make and redistribute the dollars in that manner. I will hang up now and let you respond.
Kat Ping. Thank you. Thank you, Sissy.
Hi, Sissy. Thank you for your questions and your concerns. And there was a couple things that I wanted to talk about that you touched on. First off, I'm saying about the dollar menu real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I said that because I'm a small business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand what it takes to run a business. But I also hear through the business grapevine that they have a set bottom line that they want to keep and maintain. So when prices go up, for whatever reason, whether it's the cost of goods or labor or whatever, that impacts their bottom line, so they have to make adjustments accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people in New York who are wanting that higher dollar menu, personally, I would love to see them get that kind of a wage. I would love to see people here in Indianapolis get that kind of minimum wage. But the reality of it is that they're not going to, and I think the best way to address the problem is to lower the cost of living and put more dollars in circulation so that everybody can have a job and not just the few people, or take the minimum wage so high so that only the few people have those jobs. I'm wanting to create and stimulate the environment so more people can have a job and not just a minimum wage job.
Dave will be our last caller with Catherine Kat Ping. She's running for the Republican nomination for 7th District Congress. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Amos. How are you doing?
Fine.
I think your guest is... point on, you know, for people that don't want any changes to Medicaid or Medicare or Social Security are just wanting them to go bankrupt. Our projection, if you project those programs out, Medicare is already ready to go bankrupt. And if you want to stay with the same program, all you're voting for is bankruptcy. And if you want to see how ugly it can get, just go back to the Weimar Republic, where people were taking wheelbarrow full of money in to get a loaf of bread. You know, this whole thing has to be readjusted. The tax situation has to be redone. Mm-hmm. The only way you're going to get out of this mess is growth. You have to grow your way out. And what you have to do is you have to create the environment for businesses to make money and bring some of those jobs back that are gone. And the way you do that is simple. You unleash the potential that we have for energy in this country to make energy cheap. It does everything for everybody. And what else we would do is take all these semi-trucks on the road and convert them to natural gas. The engines last longer. It's cheaper to deliver goods because the fuel is cheaper. It doesn't pollute. There's everything that you want if you're an environmental individual is with fracking and lowering the cost of energy, less pollution with the semis, and all that activity creates jobs. And if you want to reduce everybody's outgo, which means the cost of living, when you lower that, means you've got more money in your pocket. You got more money in your pocket, the more money you're going to spend. So I couldn't agree with this candidate more, and I wish her a lot of luck. And the only way out is growth. And this, unfortunately for us, I haven't seen a pro-growth agenda by this president or his team that would indicate that you're going to produce a lot of jobs.
All right, let me let the candidate respond.
Well, sir, and this goes back a little bit, too, about what Sissy mentioned earlier when it comes to trying to stimulate the growth. Mm-hmm. Those dollars that would go to those big agency budgets, they go back into the services. Mm-hmm. Some of those services would be to go to bolster the VA benefits because, you know what? I'm entitled to a pension, and my pension has just been decreased. Mm. The Congress had passed a bill to decrease our veterans' hard-earned pension.
Republicans in Congress agreed to that?
It was passed that yeah. They reduced my pension after I've served 33 years. Yeah. Mm. That's bad enough, but then they also tell me that since I'm a government pensioner, yeah, I'm not entitled to my full Social Security either. So I get less Social Security dollars as well. Mm. So I don't, in other words, they're saying you are double dipping. And I'm going, well, you know what? I thought I earned those dollars. Yeah. At least that's what you told me. But I would change that because I think if you've earned it, you should get to keep it.
Kat Ping, our standard closing question with all of our candidates this election season. If people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you?
I welcome anyone to contact me. I have a website. It is www.katping.com. You can email me at that same website, which would be cping@katping.com. Or I have a phone number. You can reach out and call me. And this might be a mistake after this, but call me at 317-608-3210. And if I get a lot of calls, I have voicemail. Thank you very much.
All right. You can get a hold of her at catping, that's catping.com, or cping@catping.com, or 608-3210. She is the only woman out of 9 individuals running for Congress in the 7th Congressional District, 5 Republicans, 4 Democrats. Catherine Kat Ping. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you. Good luck to you. And winners are always welcome back.
Well, thank you for inviting me back to your show, Amos. I look forward to it.
I appreciate it.